Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, AM 1570. We're Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Coco's Pub. We're in Lauraville, beautiful community over here on Harford Road. We got the Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs to give away from the Maryland Lottery. Also friends at Wise Markets putting us out on the road for a cup of soup or bowl. It's Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be Thursday at State Fair in Catonsville, Friday wrapping things up at Cooper's North. Next week we are at Lib's Grill on Wednesday in Harford County in Bel Air. And we're going to make our way eventually back to Fadley's where I bonked on Tuesday of a cup of Super Bowl week. I locked my equipment in the trunk of the car. Ooh. And my wife took the car to Silver Spring for work. So it was really hard to do the show on Tuesday. So it didn't happen. How are you, Rasig? What's going on, man?
I'm doing good, and I've had similar experiences to that. So I get it completely. You know?
Can I tell you the dumbest thing I did last year? I don't think I've admitted this on the air.
Right.
I went out of the country on a trip. And I went without my wife, and my wife went with her family away for a week. And I was on my way home. My wife left after I left, and she had the car in the lot for me at the airport. She left. She gave me the key. I put the key in my travel. I traveled away. On the way home, I had a connection in Chicago getting back to America. And I realized my key was in the luggage. All right, so the luggage didn't make the plane transfer. I landed at BWI at midnight on an 85 degree night. It was hot as hell, and even at night it was hot. And I landed at BWI, and I had no key to get into the car. But here's the worst part: I had no key to get into my house.
Oh my goodness.
So I am now at the airport. I was in an Uber on my way to my house and realized I have no way to get into my house. The Uber then turned toward Dundalk to my kid's house. It's 12:30 at night, and I can't wake him up. I can't get the text. I'm banging on my childhood door in Dundalk at 1 o'clock in the morning on an 85-degree summer night.
Ooh.
Banging. And I'm like, I'm going to get shot. Yeah. I just thought I was going to die.
Yes.
So the what you need to know is never, ever, ever pack your keys while on vacation in the luggage that you check.
Okay, I have one for you that's as good anyway. My family and I go up to Long Island, which I was born and lived in, and we were visiting family, drove my car, getting ready to leave on the Long Island Expressway and come back home to Baltimore. But I insist that we go to the beach because I love throwing rocks into the ocean as a kid.
I did not know this about you.
And so we drive. My kids are like, you know, 4 and 5.
You're a stone skipper.
A stone skipper, right.
Yeah, I got it.
So go drive down to the beach, throwing the rocks in, throw one more rock. It's my car keys.
Whoa!
I throw my car keys into the ocean. And
oh, no.
My kids' friends love this story so much because, there was no – I just watched them go out into the ocean.
Oh, man.
And so we had to get a locksmith. This was on Easter Sunday, I believe, so it cost me a lot to kind of get a locksmith to come to my car and get us in the car and prepare a key, all of that. It was crazy, you know.
Now it has a chip. You'd be really screwed.
Now I'm really screwed, exactly.
Mike Rasigliano has been my friend for 41 years. I think we've done the math on this since 1984. We were colleagues at the Baltimore News American at Sports First. He's a sports cartoonist to the stars, a longtime sports cartoonist. He lives in the neighborhood. He is my co-host with a K every time I'm a co-host because he lives 2 blocks away. I was going to get you and Clancy together, but just a picture alone and having a beer with Clancy.
Just love seeing Clancy. That was great.
Baltimore's great like that, isn't it?
I think it's wonderful. I was telling Clancy that, you know, when I lived in Buffalo, we had a similar group of character kind of beer vendors at the minor league games, at the Bisons game, including one called the Earl of Bud, who was...
I remember the Earl of Bud.
You remember the Earl of Bud?
I got a beer from the Earl of Bud.
Okay, well, he's legendary, like Clancy is legendary.
Did Clancy know about the Earl of Bud?
Oh, yeah. Clancy knew the Earl of Bud.
I know. I got a beer from the Earl of Bud in Buffalo.
Absolutely.
I haven't thought of him since I thought of, like, Morgana.
There was the Earl of Bud, and there was a kid named Butchie the Butcher, who was this large man, a boy, actually, who was a legend at Bison Stadium. And when there would be a rain delay, and they put the tarp out, the crowd would chant Moby Butcher, Moby Butcher, and Butcher would do like a Dempsey thing and come around the base path and slide and dive onto the tarp at the end and displace tons of water because he was a large man. And it was a big deal in Buffalo.
The Earl of Bud, didn't he do a Budweiser commercial? Wasn't he featured like a Clancy role as a vendor?
Yes.
The
I
Earl
think
of
you're
Bud
right.
was like a little bit of I a think, celebrity and maybe like in a commercial or two at I one
think,
point, right?
I think absolutely correct. I don't even
the
remember
Earl
the specifics.
Earl of Bud. I'm trying to look him up.
Wonderful man. Like Clancy.
The Earl of Bud, he used to sell at Sabres games too, right?
Sabres games also, yeah.
There he is, the Earl of Bud.
Love the Earl of Bud.
That's him. That's the Earl of Bud right there,
yeah.
Right?
I love the Earl. Oh, absolutely.
Resembles Clancy a little bit, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, no.
He's a little bit more like Al Bunbury, I think, than Clancy. All right, Rasig is here. He is the sports cartoonist to the stars. He has been my co-host for many, many years. Purple or orange, which one do you want to discuss?
Let's do the purple first, okay?
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, again, as your listeners know, I was kind of rooting for the Bills in the Ravens game, although I thought the Ravens would win the game. I thought the Ravens had the better talent than the Bills had in that game, and I was surprised.
Well, I had you on the show that week with Mike Bellani. We talked about that. We previewed the game.
I thought, they didn't play their best game. They made mistakes, and the Bills went on. And I still thought the Bills had a great chance against the Chiefs. I thought whoever won that game was going to win, was going to beat the Chiefs. And
I feel terrible for you, man. I mean, I do. I mean,
I think a lot of people in town were rooting for the Bills once the Ravens lost, and that's cool that they were. But we ended up with the same outcome, you know, like
Cancun.
Right.
Cancun.
It's so frustrating. In the case of the Bills, it's four postseason games in the Mahomes era that they've lost to the Chiefs. All good games, you know. And, of course, the Ravens have a similar – they haven't played them as much in the postseason, but they just have a similar tough time against that team.
I mean, I don't want to preview the Super Bowl because people might hear this on Monday or Tuesday of next week, but, you know – beating the Chiefs is going to be if the Eagles do it, to me, it's about defense. It's about them, the Eagles being able to play defense in the fourth quarter against Mahomes and really run the ball with Saquon Barkley. I mean, if the Eagles have a chance here by running the ball, but then there's the playing defense part of how do you get Mahomes off the field in the fourth quarter if it's a three-point ball game.
I like the Eagles in the game because they have a pass rush and because they, you know, and that's how you beat Mahomes. You know, like, that's the only way you're going to beat Mahomes.
Well, the Chiefs haven't been a great team all year, so you can't make that case. They just need to be better for 60 more minutes, and they have had an uncanny knack of defense getting Spagnuolo on the spot at the right moment. You're right. There's going to be a point in the game where Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw the ball. And then what happens when that happens? And
they're just a well-coached, very smart team, the Chiefs, and they catch the breaks too. I firmly believe that also.
Cheaters! I'm just making that up.
But to me, the two most talented teams in the whole field, the most complete teams in the whole field, in postseason field, were the Ravens and the Eagles. And I think the Eagles are going to be a handful.
Well, the Eagles came into Baltimore and beat the Ravens, right?
Beat the
Ravens. That speaks volumes for how good they are and that they – look, if they're greasing down the poles up there Sunday night and they can't – you know what I mean? The city's on fire. I won't be shocked. I mean, they're good enough to win.
They are. Just don't leave any time for Mahomes and don't – you know, leave – have a nine-point lead with no time left or very little time left for Mahomes. That's the way you beat that team. I mean, Houston could have beaten that team because they did have a terrific pass rush on him. And, you know, they didn't, of course. And in the end, they, you know, their coaching and their very good quarterback beat them. But
in the end, the teams are making the least amount of mistakes. And that's such a cliche. It's terrible. Sure. Team that makes the least amount of mistakes will win. I'm finding at 56, I'm starting to buy into that.
But
especially this time of year.
Who's the only team that beat Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
Brady.
Yeah. Well, it was Brady, but he had so much heat on him in that game because their offensive line was decimated too. Sure. So, but they also had a really good defensive
line. The
only
Super Bowl they lost because of injury, really. I mean, they can't. I mean, they would have won four times.
Probably.
And it might be three by the time people hear this on Monday morning, right? Like, literally.
Yeah. It certainly
favored to win. If they play a clean game, they'll probably win.
Right.
I think.
I'm picking the Eagles, but I have picked everyone wrong so far. So, you know, it probably will be the
Chiefs. He didn't even ask me. Like, I'm in the Zeke's con. I quacked out 2 weeks ago. He's not even asking me for my picks anymore. Versick is here. He's Mike Versicchiano.
I've got your picks every week so
Sports
far.
Sports car. Well, my picks have sucked in the playoffs, too. So, this is... That's why you don't bet on a game.
But we love it. We love it that you're in.
Not as an inducement to wager.
We love it that you're in the pool nest, and you know you're an official Zeke's member now. So you know we welcome you there always.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You ever had a massage?
I have only had a massage at work camp from my good buddy Barry Drew.
Okay.
Who was a massage
guy. So you're
guy
not a massage. You don't.
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
Well,
I'm
then,
not.
You know, sometimes I only ask this because Luke has never had a massage. I talked to him the other day. And poor SOBs, both of you. But there's an etiquette about it, obviously, and being naked or in underwear or in. If you haven't participated, you might have a different opinion. I don't know. I don't know if you read the banner story.
I did read the banner
story. Okay.
On your urging, by the way. I was like everyone else. I'm like just making assumptions, and you had it in your Facebook post. Read the story, you know?
And why not?
Of course.
If you're going to talk to me about it, you're going
right.
to read the story.
I read
this is where, like, I didn't want to be on the radio last week taking phone calls from jack wagons who didn't read. I ran into people. I don't want to call them jack wagons because some of these people I like. I ran into people I liked at dinner on Friday night, and three out of the four of them didn't read the piece. One of the four people had read it, and I'm like, the other three of you, I can't. I'm not going to have a conversation with you about something you didn't read, or you know what I mean. It's like having a conversation with somebody who didn't see the game.
Right.
Like I can't do that with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's not about reading the highlights or judgment. It's about. To me, you were a sports journalist. I was a sports journalist. You've told me that you had athletes pissed at you. Clearly, athletes have been pissed at me as well as owners.
Sure.
And that was part of us working at a newspaper and working for Jack Gibbons, for Marty Kaiser, for the people that managed Tom Gibbons, Bob Paston, the people that were my mentors as journalists. When this happened on Thursday, I was at Pizza John's with Jen Marsh, and one of my first texts was to Chris Corman. Chris Corman is a sports editor at the Banner. And I said, look, I read the piece. Nice work. Great, you know, great journalism. Do you think Justin Fenton or Julie Sharper want to come on the show so I can ask them about the story? Because to me, the credibility is Tucker called them tabloid journalists. If he called me that, I might have been out at his house. You know what I mean?
Right,
I might have
right.
been knocking on his door saying, come out of the house and call me that.
Right.
Kicker.
Right.
Kicker. I'm a journalist. It's bad enough that the 6'8" PR guy says I'm not a journalist.
Right.
I'm not taking that. I'm
yes.
not. So when you start urinating upon credible journalists in the facet that or the capacity that Justin Tucker, with tens of millions of followers and all that, and you're disparaging the journalist, and then people don't read the piece. Read the piece and then disparage the journalist.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. I ask about the journalist because I felt like the story in East Baltimore for the doubting people was who wrote the story, where's the credibility of the story?
Right.
Because people seem to think Justin Tucker has credibility because Royal Farms has paid him $250,000 a year and put him on television and these psychology chicken soup things and he kicks field goals. That's not – we all know that that's not – I mean, you were a fan of OJ, right? I mean –
Oh, I was one of the last people to kind of – I was one of the last people that thought he was innocent, you know.
Like, because you loved O.J.
Because I loved O.J., you know, and so I found it hard to believe.
You met him once, right? He was nice to you, right?
I met him once.
Right,
yeah.
You know, that's what we're talking about.
His persona was nice, all of it, you know, and he was, you know, our running back at the time, and he was the best running back
in the league. O.J. Simpson would never kill anybody.
Right, exactly.
There's
you know?
No way.
So
why would
I felt
he's
terrible?
Rich. Why would he kill anybody? Why would OJ kill anybody?
Sure,
he's got
course.
A great life.
That's
right?
the thinking, you know.
Right,
and
right.
I felt terrible that I was so wrong on it, of course. And you know,
well, he was innocent.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're all laughing about that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Tucker thing to me, I wrote to Chris Corman and I said, "Can I get your journalist on?" And he said, "Well, we might do our own podcast." And I'm like, "Well, I mean, it's no different than a Raven press conference where you know." coworkers are asking coworkers questions. I said, that's cool, but I know you got legal. I watched the podcast for 25 minutes, and Justin Fenton talking about being at a barbershop, getting a tip on the 9th of January, that they looked into this, which really kind of put aside Tucker's kicking back in October, that like he was being investigated. He wasn't being investigated. Fenton was sitting at a barbershop and got a tip and called a girl who didn't want to talk to him, called another girl, said, no, yes. No, my boss will verify it. And then they're like, oh, maybe there's other places. They got more tips. They called around.
That's right.
What you would have to do to get thrown out of a massage parlor one time for being untoward with the wrong person would be very – I mean, you'd have to really be a jerk once to get thrown out once. If he was banned at multiple places – and they have lawyers behind this and paperwork and HR. Because that could have been your daughter-in-law's massage therapist. To go in and say, this guy played some hokey. Doesn't matter who it is. This guy's played some hokey pokey. What are we going to do about that? Well, apparently, you're not going to call the cops. Nobody's going to get arrested. You're just going to throw the guy out.
Yes.
Right? That's what's going to happen.
Yes. And I'm novice to all of this. I don't know massage parlor, but it certainly sounded
I don't know
pretty.
Get thrown out of it. I mean, I don't even know what I'd have to do to get thrown out.
Exactly. I mean, I think the other – and to go back to what you were saying about Justin Tucker calling this tabloid journalism, that's the culture we're in right now, right? Like there's the guy at the top right now allows for – you know, just takes his shots at all journalism, at all credible newspapers, and diminishes them as journalism in this country. And so
I see it allows every day.
It allows for this kind of it allows even more for this kind of, you know, stand by Justin.
Well, if I had reported this and had credible sources and the kind of legal people around me that could protect me from the National Football League and a football player that has $65 million in wealth, right? Like,
right.
He's nice, he's cute, he's on TV. He's got $65 million he's made. If you're a girl in East Baltimore, you can't fight with that any more than I can fight for my press pass back.
Right.
You know, when I started calling lawyers about my press pass, it started at $500,000 to think about suing the National Football League.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right? I mean, you know what I mean? So you're going to try to bring down a Raven, bring down a player when you're a girl at a massage parlor, and your boss is saying, look, it's not worth it. We're going to throw him out. You're going to keep your job, and you're going to massage people, and you don't want this.
Right,
you don't want this 10 years ago, 10,
yes.
You know, 12 years ago. At this point, none of these girls wanted this. None of these girls deserve this. None of their bosses deserve this. And I'm not declaring him guilty.
Right.
I am declaring him looking very running scared here as these more people come out and there's more, not just allegations, but evidence. I'm an evidence guy.
Sure.
I'm a journalist.
Sure. So now the question is, what's going to happen here? And, you know, it made me think about the whole Ray Rice thing. They're not the same, you know, they're not the same
would
offense.
Would the Ravens lie? Would the Ravens lie to get him to kick for the last 10 years? Of course they would.
Yeah.
They've done it before.
Yes. And in the case of Ray, also the similarity is this too. Ray Rice, remember, was not having a great year for the Ravens the year that the video came out too. And so maybe that figured into. And of course, Justin Tucker had his worst year this year too. So I mean, would the team commit to him more if he?
Well, if Royal Farms knew about this, he wouldn't have been on their billboards.
Okay, right.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know what the Ravens knew or didn't know. That's really what the story is. I would ask questions, but, you know, of course, you know.
Yes.
If they had any integrity, I would be in New Orleans right now. Like, literally. If they had any integrity, I would be planning my what Emerald location I was going to.
Yes,
but I'm
course.
Happy to be here. We're Coco's. Rasig is here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the you're going to lucky number 82. It's a Shannon Sharp number.
Okay.
82. Magic 8-Ball. We're giving these away. Our friends at Wise Markets as well. We're at
Beautiful.
Coco's Pub. We're doing it all for the Maryland Food Bank, taking some donations. I'm dropping these off up the street in Hamilton. I met a beautiful woman there last year who works at a church up there. We're going to take care of them.
Yeah,
they have
that's
a,
so
a
nice.
Yeah, big
it's great.
Donation. I'll
it's
be,
great that you
I'll
do
put
this.
Pictures up and do all that later on. We're going to be at Cooper's on Friday. We're going to be at State Fair on Thursday. Are you done on? I mean, the Tucker thing to me is I think he's kicked his last kick. From a, if it's just a football fan thing, I think because of the money, because of the scandal, because of the Ravens will quickly move on from this. But I don't, because they'll want to. And then the question is, are journalists going to hold them responsible for what they knew or didn't know?
Yes, that is a good. That's really a good question. I'm agreeing that I don't think he's going to be kicking here anymore. I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens on the other, on the other front. In a way, it's such a shame because the guy is
terrible.
Such a great kicker and piece of this franchise. I was looking at a list of the greatest Ravens players the other day, and it was not a correct list because Lamar wasn't even on the list. So this list must have been before it. And it was Ray, Ogden, Reed, Suggs. I think Tucker was fifth on the list at the time as greatest. And Yanda was the other guy. Yanda was after Tucker.
Yanda might be in the Hall of Fame by the time we
do it. I think so.
Maybe.
I think so.
I talked to
Lamar would be probably at the top of the list right now. Would you say? I mean, who would be at the top, Ray or Lamar?
Ray.
Ray Stell. Okay.
Oh, God.
I mean, this guy's going to have, if he wins the MVP, he'll have won three MVPs.
He's got a new ring finger. I mean, I don't, like.
I'm not
urinating upon his accomplishments or saying that he can't be, but right now, if you're talking about the greatest Ravens ever, there's Ray and Ed 1 and 1A, right?
Okay.
I mean,
well,
there's Ogden
1 okay.
B.
And then Lamar? A quarterback, the most important position in
football? Say Tucker and then Lamar right now, and Lamar's rising. But if Lamar never plays another down and Lamar never wins a Super Bowl,
well,
I'm not putting him ahead of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed.
I'm not either. I'm just saying that.
This is a sports radio argument, but Lamar's a piece of – he's in project. He's in progress. I can't, you know.
He's in progress, but, you know, just the way some people called Mike Trout one of the greatest players of all time, even though it was early in his career, you can make that assessment.
He wasn't even the best player on his own team by the time he got to the end.
True, but the assessment, you can make an assessment on Lamar. Lamar's going to be in the Hall of Fame at some point as a quarterback.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, he's in the – he's certainly on that list. He's certainly pretty high up on that list at this point. Maybe could go
– Justin Tucker higher. Won games with his foot and won a Super Bowl, so there is a
sure.
that look, I'm not gonna, don't make me the one defending Justin Tucker this week.
No,
that'll be somewhere else on the dial. Go to ravens.com for that. You don't need to
sorry
get that
about
here,
that
but,
yeah
no, but I mean, as far as greatness goes, I mean, he's the greatest kicker of all time. I mean, no matter what he did on a massage table, what he did on the field is what he did on the field, right?
I mean, this is like OJ being in the Hall of Fame still
correct.
Right
there
now with
there
a bust in the Hall of Fame,
or even Pete Rose not.
Oh, P-Rod's not. Exactly. You know, so that's true.
All right, but speaking of baseball, I'm going to give you a couple. Versig is here. We're Coco's. We're not at the end of the offseason, but Joe Enoch texted the funniest thing. Can the Orioles sign one player to a free agent contract that I don't have to Google first? So did
that
you
is
to,
so true.
You had to Google the guy the other night, right? I knew he played for the Braves last year, but I didn't know.
Oh,
much.
I missed the signing. Who was it?
Oh, jeez, man, I don't even know. We didn't even text it because it was like I don't even know.
I probably know him from fantasy baseball, possibly.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Ronald Acuna.
No. 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 Free agent news. I got to get the name right. Orioles agree with a one-year deal with outfield slugger Ramon Laureano.
Oh, I have heard of him. Okay, just again from fantasy. And, of course, they got Dylan Carlson. These are two guys.
Yeah, $4 million bucks. He must be a great ball player.
Yeah, I mean, these are both guys that had high upsides at some point.
He strikes out every third time is
Dylan
what he does,
Carlson, I've had him too many times on my fantasy team. I can't get excited about that one. But maybe he'll blossom here. You never know in baseball.
Who's going to pitch?
I don't know. You know, like the thing that frustrates me the most about this offseason is not that we lost Corbin Burnes, but that we did not really start building a staff, a staff for any length of time. We got another 1 year, you know, rental, I guess, a 1 year older pitcher that
not older, old.
Old. Okay, 40, yes.
41. Old you can't pitcher. Get much older than 41.
I mean, he's been good. Fine. All his career. He hasn't been great,
I'm
but he's been
good. I'm
not
against any of this. I mean,
I think it was
the 35-year-old Japanese guy. Maybe he's, you know,
fine.
Maybe
signing.
He's great. Maybe he's a top-of-the-line guy. But I mean, maybe Grayson Rodriguez will be, you know, moving to that. Maybe.
There's teams like Boston and, you know, a few other teams that signed young arms that, you know, for a, you know, made an investment in a young arm like the White Sox guy for Boston, that they're willing to take the chance on a young arm that's going to that they can build around, build a staff around. This team staff is so fragile. Like, we have two number one potential starters on this team in Grayson and, you know,
Eflin.
Not Eflin, no. Braddish.
You well, know,
those,
is,
those are, those yeah, are guys that are yeah. number ones. Eflin is a really good pitcher, but I wouldn't – he doesn't –
I don't know what
Braddish
really is going to be when he comes back, though.
I know? Don't. That's what I'm saying.
John
about,
Means was a number one for a minute.
That's what I'm saying about fragile, though. You know, Braddish – both Braddish and Grayson Rodriguez are such fragile arms. I mean, you can't count on these guys to be your aces – your ace going forward. They're not going to make it through a season. I think,
well, you have to pay somebody. Even they, you know what I mean? I don't know that this notion that Corbin Burns, and it's a lot of money, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And again, and as you've said, I think, you know, he didn't really want to come. He wanted to go back to his home. He wanted to go back to the West Coast.
Last thing you want to do is pay a guy that doesn't want to be here $250
well,
million, dollars,
it's
right?
True. It's true. I loved him. I was hoping whatever the cost was, we were going to sign him as just a fan. But as far as a business investment, yeah, it seemed pretty crazy, you know. But that's where we are.
$5 beers, Birdland value menu.
Oh, man, that's so great.
We should go to a game at some point, right?
Let's do that.
Do you know how many people I say that to? We should go to – if the Orioles were ever nice to me and gave me my press pass back, I would do my own night and just bring everybody down there. That would be part of my negotiation with them. If you give me my press pass back, I'll actually come to the games and I'll bring friends and they'll spend money.
I have been to a couple of games with you, of course. I was at Free the Birds night with you.
Yeah, you and I were there the night Morgana got arrested.
Exactly.
And then
I was with you when the bird squirted you, too. I was sitting right next to you.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you don't remember that?
I tried not to remember. That was a bad night.
I know it was a bad night.
Dude,
for me.
I'm just tell everybody how close I went to going to jail for beating the hell out of the bird. Seriously.
Yes, it's true. But
I know who the guy in the suit is. The guy that was in the suit has never apologized to me. That's the part that pisses me off. It's only been 20 years. But I was assaulted.
But I was at that game. I was at that game sitting with you. I'm trying to remember. There was a couple of other people.
Can you describe it? Because I didn't know you were. I forgot why
I was with you that night at the game.
It was really an act of violence. I mean, the person came. It was not.
I don't know. I didn't know it at the time.
I said to the guy in the costume, I said, if you do that, you're making the biggest effing mistake of your effing life, is what I said to him.
I mean, ordinarily, I would be amused by that, but I understand how offended you are by it. And
well,
also,
they didn't pay me the $40,000 that they said they were going to pay me, and I sold 1,800 tickets, including yours, that night.
Ah.
So they didn't pay the bill.
Ah,
that's
right,
the part
okay.
that you're skipping out on.
Okay, well, I didn't.
You're skipping out on the part where, like, I did the work and didn't get paid for it and got assaulted.
Right.
And got thrown out. And vilified.
I mean, I'm not going to be down on – I'm still not going to be down on the
that's
bird.
That's all that happened from my perspective.
Right.
Just those few things.
I'm still not going to be down on the bird the way I am on – kind of on Justin Tucker at this point. So, you know, I mean, it was
– I've only been assaulted by the bird, never by Justin Tucker. Say that. It's true.
Luckily, yes.
Justin Tucker used to stand at the corner of the locker room, and at the there was a clock in the locker room, so we had 1 hour. We were in there from 10:45 to 11:45. It was our 1 hour on Wednesday. So I would leave my house at 9 p.m, get home at 2 p.m, eat lousy pizza at the facility, have to look at Jerry Coleman's mug, and I'm in the locker room, and when the hour would show up, Tucker. He had this big, long horn.
Like a vuvuzela?
Like a vuvuzela. Yeah, like you would talk through it, you know. Yeah. Like, and he would be a complete jack wagon and would do the big announcement to tell the media it was time for them to leave.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I always thought that was real big of you, Juss. Yeah. I thought we were pals.
Oh,
so I never liked that. I never liked that.
Right.
Every Wednesday, I never. There were a lot of things that went on out there. How easy am I to offend, Rasig? I'm probably the least offendable human you know, right?
I don't think you're. I think you're not easily offendable, but when you do get offended, you get very, very upset.
It works on disrespect.
Yeah,
it works on
what
I wouldn't do that to you. Is
right.
kind of how that works.
I agree.
If you do something to me that I wouldn't do to you, so. I have been in locker rooms forever. Justin Tucker was the official guy. His locker was right by the door where he would make sure everyone got announced on their way out because it was they were so happy to throw us out.
Wow.
And he was sort of the court jester. He was sort of the – what was Frank Robinson when he wore the – what do they call that?
Oh, the judge.
The kangaroo court.
The kangaroo court, yeah.
So Justin Tucker was always – making sure he was the biggest jerk on the way out at the end of the day. So my last feeling of leaving the Raven Clubhouse every Wednesday was having Justin Tucker sort of, ha-ha, kid, you all need to get out.
Right,
it's time for you to leave.
Let me ask
and I'm thinking to myself, I've never told that story on the air, even all the time it was happening. But it was really, it was something that I told Chad Steele when he was throwing me out.
Picture,
I said to Chad, I'm like, you got a lot of things your guys do in this locker room that I don't ever come up to you with because you wouldn't do anything about it anyway other than throw me out,
right?
Which is what they did. So this is the tenor of how this has gone. So I don't mind telling the truth because I lived it.
Let me ask you this, Ness. So it's been said that this has been a rumor for quite some time. Amongst the media, I guess, or
not me. I'm not in the media.
Okay, all right. But it's been going on for.
I'm glad you asked me this because when this happened at 1 o'clock, 1:40, I was at Pizza John's in Essex last week, and it happened. And I was with Jen Marsh, longtime city paper editor. She's my dear friend. We were just having pizza. Literally, like, I love her. We're like brother and sister. We're old friends. We're having pizza. She had never been to Pizza John's. Have you been to Pizza John's?
Yes.
All right. She had never been to Pizza John's. So she wanted to meet me there. We had lunch and. And it was actually her phone. I was reading it off on the paywall when the Tucker thing happened. And, you know, within a couple of minutes, like, I left. I went home 15 minutes to Towson, and I went online. Luke and I didn't do a piece until about 4:30. We did a couple of hours of reading, and I was just trying to figure out what was going on. And you can look at my Facebook threads, right? I put up immediately, like, this is happening.
Yes.
And across my thread, by the time I got home, there were three humans I know, all women, on the thread saying worst kept secret in town.
Really?
And I'm thinking, I know you. I didn't know about it. I did not know. I honestly can say I never heard any whisper about it. And then by the time 3 o'clock turned around, all the tweets were out from 19 and 20 where guys were accusing him of these things back years ago on Twitter. And I shared that.
Ah, okay.
And when I shared that, and I said, then the thread became worst kept secret in town. Where I knew about it, I knew. Two friends reached to me. People I, one of them worked for me in a journalism capacity many, many years ago, reached to me and said, I know a girl this happened to. She would never talk about it. She would never tell you or anybody else. She just won't. And I wrote him back 2 days later when the six became nine, and I said, is she one of the nine?
Ah.
And he said to me, I really don't think so. That's what he said to
me.
So this is a dear friend of mine, and that happened Thursday into Friday. I was astonished at how many citizens that I knew, that I know, people that I've known my whole life, when it happened said, I've known, I've heard this, I knew about this, worst kept secret, I didn't know about it.
Right.
I didn't. Now, I have said on many occasions, and I said this week, I had a player show up drunk, really, really drunk at my show 11 years ago. I'm not going to out the player. Showed up so
baseball
drunk.
Baseball or football?
Football.
Okay.
It was baseball. I didn't know baseball players on my show. I'm not real media. Showed up so drunk that the video and the audio was unairable.
Wow.
So I went out. I had to apologize to my client that night.
Right.
All the adult fans that were there knew he was drunk. The kids made his thought he wasn't. His teammate that was there that night on the set absolutely knew he was drunk.
Wow.
He smelled like the bar stopped. He was ordering vodka, and the bar was putting water in it because they just didn't want to get him any more drunk.
Right.
He had a ride. He had a limo. I went to I couldn't go to Kevin. Kevin Byrne would have laughed at me. Chad Steele wouldn't have spoken to me. So I went to Eric DaCosta. who wasn't running the place. And when I went to Eric DaCosta and said, you got players showing up drunk at my shows, dude. Mm. Well, you know, they're not choir boys.
Yeah. Well.
I don't.
It's not professional at all. It's not representing your team well at all.
They threw me out of my job after 30 years. Do you think these people have integrity?
Right.
I mean, you like football. I like it all. But it's been a week since the allegations are there, and the Ravens are going to run from him. They're going to cut him, and they're going to pretend it never happened because they don't want questions about what they knew.
Yeah.
Because they're coming next.
Right.
And after Ray Rice, and I'll throw myself in as good of an article of proof that if they can lie about me being a media member,
right,
what else can they lie about?
Right.
What else
right.
are they willing to lie about?
Well, the reason I
to win football games, because that's all that matters there to John Harbaugh, is winning football games.
The reason I asked about the rumor thing with Justin Tucker was because of the whole rumor thing. I always was curious as an outsider. So I am a journalist. It's true. I mean, cartooning is a journalism thing, but I'm never in the locker rooms ever. So I'm never privy to any of this kind of rumor stuff. I just sit at home and draw cartoons that reflect the
public
flavor,
sentiment.
The public sentiment,
sure,
exactly.
Yeah.
But in the case of, it just made me think of the Cal Kevin Costner thing from way back when. And
it was the worst. It was everywhere on the street. It might as well have been true whether it wasn't or wasn't because people were stupid enough to believe it.
Right, but you're saying it wasn't true, and I'm saying I always thought if it was true, it would have come out just the way this came out at some point.
The lights going out, all of that.
I was at the game.
It was 30 years ago.
I was at the game.
Well, it's the ultimate urban legend, right? One of those TV shows that would do an urban legend thing, that was the ultimate stupid urban legend. Then they get divorced, and then people go crazy about that. I'm not into that. Like, I've never been into the...
I'm just saying. I don't know how I would be on the...
What difference would it make anyway? I mean, that's not assault. That's not, you know...
It's private business, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, of course.
But this is a different level of accountability for the organization that they're going to have to take... I'm going to say they're going to have to take ownership. They don't have to do anything. That's the beauty of being Steve Bisciotti. They don't have to do anything. They're not going to lose any fans over this, no matter what the scandal is. If I get evidence that they all knew, bring it to me. I'll out them. What difference will that make?
The game
will be sold out on opening day. Lamar's going to play football. There are no repercussions for the Baltimore Ravens, for whatever their players do.
Isn't it the same?
That's true.
The same?
Or their employees.
The same deal as Deshaun Watson? I mean, isn't he still on the team?
He got $250 million after he did it.
After he did it. So there you go. You know, like, I don't know.
I said that my wife and I had a morning. We haven't talked much lately. She's been working. We had a morning conversation, like, in the shower. I'm in the bathroom. We're talking. She's getting dressed. And we're just having a – I said on the air yesterday, Tucker's had his last kick for the Ravens. She's like, you think so? Because she knows they have no integrity. And I'm like, well, yeah. She looked at me. She's like, he's a really good kicker. That's what she said. And I'm thinking, he'll kick for somebody else.
Oh, I think that's
true. I think there's the Deshaun – I guess to answer your question, he'll be okay somewhere else if he can kick. Here, no – he's just going to deny it. Whatever the court thing's going to happen, he'll go kick for the Chargers or somebody else, and he'll be fine there. There won't be a scandal anywhere else.
Right.
For him.
No,
for him.
I agree. You know, I think that's the way it's going to go.
He didn't murder anybody. There's no rape victims. There's no evidence. There's no criminal crime. He's going to go kick somewhere else.
Yes. Yes.
And God bless him. And I hope he yells at the media members in the room that he's in with his little vuvuzela and tells them to get out.
You shed some light for me on that one. I never told that story.
Other than to my wife.
His persona, like much like OJ, I'm not comparing him to OJ. I'm just saying much like OJ is this very, you know, Catholic,
do you know how long I've been a Royals farm spokesperson?
27
years.
Really? Is that right?
27 years.
Wow. Wow.
Royal Farms has been sponsoring me for 27 years, since 1998, since I opened the radio station.
And unlike Justin, your relationship probably will go on.
I got fired 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Unlike Justin Tucker, I actually eat their chicken. and drink their coffee.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do, I think I'm going to put a little promotion together and try to become the new Royal Farms spokesperson.
Man, do it.
Because nobody has eaten more Royal Farms chicken than me. I promise you that. That's a fact.
All right.
I see opportunity here for you and me. Maybe get the chicken suits from Sir Crazy. Remember that? And we'll do the little chicken,
sure.
Do a chicken dance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I love the mascot thing, man. Like, let's go. I've been a Kool-Aid
Royal Farms coffee is the one for me. Is that good?
Really good. I mean, it'd be a seamless transition. That's what I'd say. From Justin to you. Seamless.
If I did that on a comedic level, I think of you as a comedian. I mean, you and your kids are comedians, right? I mean, there's part comedy for you. Cartooning's comedy, right?
Cartooning is like if you want to be a comic, but you have stage fright, basically.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Now, okay. So I'm Jack Gibbons. You work for me. You have to do a cartoon for me.
Right.
For Monday right now,
right. Yes.
On Justin Tucker.
Right.
How do you do a cartoon on
that? Is tough.
I'm going to ask. This is where I get Professor Racine.
Is I like really this. A tough one because – unlike,
you had to leave Ray Lewis alone in 2001, right? Like, there are things when they're hot. Ray Rice, did you do cartoons on Ray Rice?
I did, but I look at sports cartooning a little bit differently than I look at editorial cartooning,
political
cartooning. And so in sports cartooning, you are part of this sports community, and you're kind of a voice for the everyman fan, I think, on the radio. So, yeah, I'd have to think about that one, Ness. On just, I think it would be, I think it wouldn't be a funny cartoon at all. It would be it would be a very serious.
It would be
kind
nine
of,
women somewhere and a thing, you know, something sure. Like what are they saying and what he's saying.
Yeah,
or that?
I don't know if I would go that. I'm not even sure if they would print something like that, honestly. But I do think because I think it is kind of a lighter approach for sports cartooning, at least mine work.
You'd leave it alone.
I wouldn't leave it alone. I would do a cartoon about it. It's the story in town. I would not leave it alone, and I would do a more serious issue-based kind of cartoon.
It would be a question. It would be a cartoon with a question.
A question would
okay,
be
fair
exactly
enough.
Right. Exactly
God,
right.
God, yeah. Man, you're so talented. I almost want you to do it, you know, just to see what your mind's thinking about.
Someone
you know?
Wants to pay me to do it, I'll do it.
You couldn't. Tell me what the cartoon is, though, right? Like, you know, like
nothing comes to mind right now immediately on that one. You
but
know,
even if other you than, even if you drew it, would could you?
I would want to be fair.
Could you tell around it? Around it?
Yeah,
somewhere?
I think so. I think I could do it.
I always love how your ideas come.
I wouldn't.
You know?
I mean, you know, I also, you know, I can do cartoons that really make fun of a situation. This is not a situation to make fun of.
No question.
Of, you
no
know.
Question.
So that's
the only thing funny I said, and I'll drop the mic with this on the massage thing. I get massage, Racine doesn't. So this would be a good massage.
Yes.
So I've had massages all over the world in different places, some expensive, some not expensive. I've never had a happy ending massage. I've never been
wow.
in one of those places. I did knock on the door one time in San Francisco, and they wouldn't let me in. They wouldn't let me. I swear to God, this is a true story. They wouldn't let me in. So I don't know what I did wrong. They asked me if I was a member of the club, and I wasn't, and I didn't get in.
Wow.
So, and I was drunk anyway, so it didn't matter. So I've never been to one of those places. But I've been to legitimate massage places. A million ways, music, running water, elegant places, you know, all of that. Men, women, black, white, young, old. I've had a lot of massages, right? This is the first time I've ever seen this in my life. I went to New York. The day after Trump got elected, maybe there's something there for you. But it was back in November, and it was a beautiful day. It was 80 degrees that day in New York, and I'm walking around. I was alone. Went up for 2 days. My wife stayed home. I went up, and I got a place in Chinatown that does legitimate massage. I've been there before. I was walking down there. My feet hurt. I'm like, I'm going to get a massage. I'm going to get some noodles and do my thing in China. So I went in, and I went upstairs to the, and they're like stalls, the massages. They're not like rooms with locked doors. You can hear. You know, it's open air, right? So I went in, and lady leaves. They draw the curtain, and I take my clothes off, and I look up. It's the first time I've ever seen this sign. And I've been in a lot of rooms, whatever, and it literally said, no hanky-panky.
Really? That's interesting.
And I thought, I looked at it. Like, that says kindly, silence phones. You know, is this a sign? It says,
yes.
No hanky-panky. And I looked at it, and I thought, It's New York. I mean, that's a nice that says it all. That just says it all.
Oh, I think so.
I wasn't thinking in that line, but if you're a tourist in New York and thinking that you're in that kind of place,
right. You don't know.
You're not.
Right.
And the app with the 4.8 stars and the 5,000 reviews would tell you this is a legitimate place. I'm in this legit. But I saw no hanky panky, and I thought, well, maybe they have to put that up. You know what I mean? Maybe that's because maybe once in a while these women get harassed in some way. But I'm thinking. That doesn't go on at
OHAS. That's a lot of insight into massage parlors right there, Ness, that you've because, again, I have no experience.
See, if I was doing comedy right now and I was really being funny, I'd say the minute I saw no hanky-panky, I laughed, you know. But no, Rasig is here.
Right.
He will not be doing a funny cartoon on Justin Tucker, but I'm allowed to do comedy whenever I want.
Right.
And, you know, I want justice to prevail. That's all.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Okay, yes.
I'm an American.
But not necessarily Justin.
So when justice prevails, the guys running the country will be under a cell. He is Rasig. I am Nestor. We're Kokas. We're going to sign off here before I get myself into further trouble because I got to take one of those delicious crab cakes home. I'm taking the ribs home tonight for my wife here.
Wow,
they travel well. So I'm going to get some ribs, and I never, ever, ever leave Kokas without coleslaw. So you don't do that. You don't. If I go home without coleslaw, my wife's going to send me back.
Let me just say, I'm always.
It might snow tonight.
Always happy to be here at Kokas. It's the best. Our neighborhood is the best, and Kokas is the primo spot in the neighborhood. So.
How do you feel about the bike lanes?
No comment.
All right. Yeah, we've had comedy. We've had
I love
art,
Ryan Dorsey,
we've had
so
sports,
no comment.
We've had it all going on. Ryan Dorsey was supposed to be here. He got sick today, so he'll be back to justify the bike lanes.
Right, yeah.
When Ryan Dorsey comes, I'll bring my bike down here for the show.
Woo.
All right, we're signing off for Kokas. My thanks to everybody from the Maryland Lottery. Everybody here at Kokas is beautiful. You know, I came in today, and they love me here so much that they know that I have no butt, and I have a bony butt, and they
me
have
too.
Hard seats.
I
and I
have
forgot
no
my, my pillow that I sit on, and they knew that. And I'm here to tell you, I've been sitting here 4 hours and 54 minutes. And I feel like a new man. I feel like I need a massage. I got to go back to New York. Back for more on Baltimore Positive. I swear we'll get serious with this Cup of Super Bowl thing soon.